a guy who knows a little something about defense in the NFL. He's also got a great podcast with iHeart, the Lights Out podcast. He is Sean Merriman. He joins us a lot of times on Monday morning as we break down what we saw happen on Sunday. And we got a lot to get to, but I want to start with your boy Philip Rivers, who is aging, but he's still playing at a pretty high level. Colts get a big win over the Packers in what was an incredible overtime game. First of all, how good are the Colts? Are they a threat in your mind in the AFC? And how good has Philip Rivers been?
Well, for one, I think Colts are definitely a threat. Playing in a division one like they're playing, and you always have a shot to come out on top. So when you look at teams like that, those are the type of teams you don't typically want to see in the playoffs first time around. I mean, they are well balanced. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. And look, I mean, as far as Philip, that was the biggest problem his last year with the Chargers. I mean, they had a banged up offensive line. He was getting hit, and he's already a guy who can't run. He's not mobile. Definitely, he's never been that, but he's definitely not at this stage of his career, but they're blocking for him. They're giving him time, and these guys are going out making plays, and as long as they go out and keep making plays, they're going to be very scared to play down here in the stretch.
I mean, is it just me, or is the AFC in particular? I mean, I know how good Patrick Mahomes is on any given week, and certainly we can talk about the fact that the Steelers are unbeaten. But when I look at the AFC, it just looks wide open to me, right? I mean, they're just like in terms of even trying to figure out who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to win divisions, it just seems like there's not a lot that separates, the first team from the ninth or tenth best team.
No, it's not. And you look at the Steelers, and obviously they're the best team in football right now. They're the most balanced team in football right now, playing the game great in all three phases. And Ben Roethlisberger, man, I mean, look, him coming back off of that injury and him at his age, nobody thought. I mean, I definitely didn't think that he'll be playing at this level coming back so soon. And they're probably the most well-coached team in football. Mike Tomlin got these guys rolling this year. But you go look at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. And at any given time, any given day, he can blow you up and blow right by you. But you look at some of the other teams going around, man, and it's, like you said before, it's just, there's no one team that you're going to say, you know what, no one can beat them. Because, you look at the Colts, we just finished talking about the Colts. Could they go out and sneak and win a game against the Kansas City Chiefs? Absolutely. Could the Steelers end up in the playoffs still undefeated or go 16-0 or 15-1 and lose in the first round against one of these teams we just mentioned? Absolutely. So if you look at the AFC, you're absolutely right. Any one of these teams can win any day of the week.
We're talking to Sean Merriman. How nervous do you think that the Baltimore Ravens should be about what's going on with Lamar Jackson? They are now in their last 11 games, 6-5. They lost a tough overtime game against the Titans, and we've talked about that game a decent amount on the show so far. But to me, big picture here, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, 6-5 in their last 11, 6-4 this season. Are defenses catching up? You've seen guys go out and take the NFL by storm, and then you know how it works. The NFL, the guys go back into their laboratory. They look at all the different defensive setups. As a guy who was an all-pro in the NFL, are you seeing things that are being done that the Ravens are clearly having trouble with, and is it more what they're doing or what the defense is doing to them?
Well, first and foremost, you know what kind of quarterback Lamar Jackson is, right? I mean, he's going to give you 150 to 200 yards throwing. He's going to rush for anywhere between 50 and 75 yards a game and have one or two rushing touchdowns, one or two throwing. Like, you know what you're going to get from him. I don't think he's the problem. You know what you're going to get. I mean, yes, defenses are figuring him out a little bit more and whatever, but the biggest problem is that defense. They're just not playing Ravens football in the defense they normally have played in the past. One thing that made the Ravens a great team was they're able to run the ball, manage the ball, and throw it, and then also playing great defense. And right now, they can't hold up against anybody. I mean, the Titans just ran all over the place on them. And don't get me wrong, it's King Henry back there, and he's gonna get his yards. But they're getting bullied up front. The defensive line are getting tossed around, and that's not something that they're accustomed to. So if you're not running the ball well, you're not playing great defense, you can't go out and expect Lamar Jackson to be anything other than Lamar Jackson. You drafted him, you know what type of quarterback he is. he's not going to go out there and sling it. He needs a defense that's going to hold up. And as long as that keeps happening, I don't see a bright future for them until they figure it out on the defense side of the ball.
Tua got benched. How do you think that plays in the locker room? Fitzpatrick comes in. They're not able to come back and win. The Dolphins had won 5 in a row. They lose on the road against the Broncos. What do you think the response is in the locker room to that decision?
You know, I know that Tua was excited. He was cheering Fitzpatrick, getting on back in the game. But there has to be some kind of consistency. You can't, whenever one quarterback starts to have a problem, you can't throw the other one in. I mean, you made a decision to move on to Tua from Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is fine. But win, lose, or draw, you need to stay with a guy at this point. You can't, you know, throw Ryan Fitzpatrick back in the mix after Tua's not going out there getting it done. Now, you're going to have some games and some teams going to play that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better fit to go out and win football games for you, but it doesn't matter. At that quarterback position, you got to have some consistency there and not throw Ryan Fitzpatrick back in the mix when things are not going well.
Justin Herbert, you're a Charger guy. We're talking to Sean Merriman. Herbert went 37 for 49, 366 yards, 3 touchdowns. And with the Joe Burrow injury and Tua getting benched, I also think basically the rookie of the year is over. It's going to be Herbert's to win. But I got a couple of questions about Herbert for you. First of all, as a Charger guy, how exciting is this to watch him? And second, can you remember a guy who has looked this much better at the quarterback position his rookie year in the NFL compared to his senior year in college? Because I can't. I was talking about this earlier on the show. It's not just that Justin Herbert's great. I watched a lot of those Oregon Duck games with him, and he didn't look anywhere near the quality of player that he has been in the NFL. So I'm curious if you can remember seeing a guy who came in this fast and looked this good relative maybe to expectations.
Yeah, and just to say this, that during the combine, I posted a tweet during the combine and said, look, Justin Herbert is the only quarterback for this team, and he is the future of this team. And I've seen that because it fits their style of offense. He is a NFL-style quarterback. And what I mean by that is, you have some guys that are stuck in the system in college. You have some coaches that say, you know what, this is my playbook. I want you to play this way because this is how we have the plays drawn up. Now, in the NFL, his talent and his elite level gets to shine. He gets to use his arm and get creative, use his legs. I mean, people are not remembering that he's 6'6", 6'7", or 6'6", 235-plus pounds. This is not a small quarterback, and he's mobile. And he can do so many different things. And some of these darts that he's throwing out there right now, the Keenan Allen, the one he had when they just drilled the ball in the back of the end zone, you know, those type of things where you anticipate where a wide receiver is going to be, those are things you pick up your third and fourth and fifth year in the NFL. He's doing that right now. The closest quarterback I can see in the last decade to come out and just ready to go right now, I would say, is Andrew Luck. When I seen Andrew Luck, it was my last years with the Bills, and I got a chance to play him, and I was like, my gosh, man, this guy, this young, this coming in is ready to go, who was also a very mobile quarterback and was just really – people didn't understand how mobile he was, but Andrew Luck playing against him, he was very fast and very mobile for his size. So that's the only quarterback I saw in the last 10 years, the last decade, to come in as NFL ready. And let me tell you this, Justin Herbert, he's just scratching the surface. I don't think people even seeing what he's going to be capable of doing. This is a guy who can throw for 350 yards a game. And if the defense keep holding up and get the ball back in his hands, he can average 350 a game, no problem.
We're talking to Sean Merriman, NFC East. This is just a joke. I mean, as a player, when you look around and think, I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. I mean, he's just been atrocious. The Cowboys went on the road and beat the Vikings. You've got the Giants, who seem to be cycling up a little bit. The Washington football team. Does it seem fair that a winner of the NFC East is going to get to host a home playoff game? And that, frankly, it's probably going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going on the road to play in that game. And maybe the Bucs think that's not a bad deal because they're going to get the best matchup of all. But it seems kind of ridiculous to me that, one, they even get a bid, and, two, they get to host a home playoff game.
No, I don't think it's fair at all. And I think that at some point in time it needs to change because it's been like that for a while. And you look at the NFC West and look at how many teams are locked in. It's 6-3 or 7-3, and they're neck and neck. And some of those teams are not going to get in. And you look at this division, and it's been like that for some time. It's almost in the sense of who can lose the best, right? I mean, that's when you start to look at that division to see what's going on. And you look around the NFL, and everybody is at least competitive in some type of way. Well, there's a clear best team in that division. And now you look at this division, you're like, wow, I mean, this team is really going to get a chance to get in the playoffs and take a spot from a team that is much better record than they have. So, yeah, at some point in time, the NFL has to look at that and make a decision on how they are going to move forward in the playoff berth, because it is. It's embarrassing.
We're talking to Sean Merriman, running through all the activities going on in the NFL over the weekend. You can listen to Sean Merriman's podcast, The Lights Out Podcast, as part of the iHeart Podcast Network. Sean, the NFC in general, we talked about how many teams there are in the AFC that have a chance to potentially win this Super Bowl trip. But when you look at the decision that the Saints made to go with Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston as a defensive player, what would you have thought about that choice, and how would you assess Taysom Hill's performance on Sunday?
Well, you know, I don't want to take anything from Taysom Hill, because he can do it all. I mean, he's earned his stripes in multiple positions. He's done everything that the organization has asked him to do. So, you know, the problem that lies in me, and I really tug at it myself, is how we need to stop praising one guy to kind of kick another guy to the curb. We're not saying that Taysom Hill and Jameis, there's a problem there. But if you look at it from the outside looking in, Jameis Winston probably should have had the upper hand of playing quarterback. He probably should have had the upper hand of being a starter than a Drew Brees went down. But that's not to take anything away from Taysom Hill. I think we do too much of that nowadays. If you can't give someone else props without kicking another one to the curb. But from the outside looking at a defensive player, you would think that Jameis Winston had a better shot or should have been the starting quarterback.
What do you think about the decision? I don't know if you saw this or not, but you had immediately after the game, Sean Payton, who's coached a lot of games in the NFL, he went on Twitter. Did you see what he did?
Twitter? Yeah, Roddy White. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people out there who may not have seen this, I'm going to read it for you. I'm scrolling through my Twitter account. I want to make sure I get it right. Sean Payton, right after the game, Roddy White said, "Saints about to get whipped trying us with Taysom Hill at QB. We about to snack them." And Sean Payton retweeted that after the game. You like that from a head coach, or you don't like that?
I do, man. I do, especially for former players, or just anybody coming from another team in that division, right? And you want the team to resemble a coach's attitude. So big props to Sean Payton for coming back at him that way, and it just shows the confidence that he has in Taysom Hill and. Really the confidence going forward. And, you know, being a player in the locker room, you love it, right? You love it because you're looking – I'm surprised that we didn't see a bunch of the other guys retweeted as well because it just shows, man, the confident level that he has. And playing in that division, man, you have to have that attitude or you're just not going to be successful.
Did last question for you, and we're talking to Sean Merriman. Did the Bengals set up Joe Burrow to fail? I mean, one of the big challenges, and we may see this with Trevor Lawrence. In fact, I think you said on our show a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Jets continue to lose. And you said, hey, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't know that I want to go to the Jets organization because of the incompetence there. And you went through this a little bit yourself with Eli Manning not wanting to play with the Chargers. I know it's an awful injury. Joe Burrow's out for the year. He showed a lot of flashes, but they gave up a lot of hits for him. Did the Bengals not do what they should have done with their young quarterback, or is it unfair to blame the Bengals organization?
Well, first off, I hope Joe Burrow has a good surgery and a healthy recovery. You never want to see that somebody of that talent level. That he's going to have one of the brightest futures, and you can see it early on. And he was just put in a position to have to do too much his first year. And it's unfortunate sometimes that an organization don't build enough around you. And I'm talking about from the offensive line standpoint.
They let him get decked a lot.
Yeah, but he was getting hit, and he was being forced to do way too much. I mean, look, he's still a rookie. First off, I'm against anyway rookies being thrown on the field right away. Anyway, I'm totally.
You're old school
it.
In that respect, or you think young quarterbacks should have a little bit more seasoning?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think that especially because they didn't have a full offseason, he didn't have a preseason with this team, mini camps, and all the things that they normally would have had. That, for sure, you bring somebody else in, and even if you got to take some lumps early on, you get that other guy and let him come in 4, 5, 6 games into the season, because this is going to be your guy for the next 5 or 10 years. Never throw a guy of Joe Burrow's stature right there in the mix. And I don't want to say that it's their fault, because freak injuries happen all the time to anybody. But at the same time, you can't put a guy of his skill level, someone who you expect to be around 5 and 10 years in your organization, and put him in a bad situation. And I think that's what happened, not just because of the injury. I mean, the back-to-back hits that he was taking an entire year, all this added up to him to just end up being that one knee injury that he had.
Talking to Sean Merriman. Sean, appreciate the time, my man. We will talk to you hopefully next week. Have a good Thanksgiving week. You got any big plans?
Yeah, I'll be back home on the East Coast, my family in Maryland and my son, and spend the time there, and hopefully come back not 10 pounds heavier.
What's your first-round draft pick for Thanksgiving? If you're going into the buffet line and you can only grab one thing, what would be your first-round pick?
Oh, the candy yams. Yeah, candy yams. But, you know, my grandmother, you know, from my family's from South Carolina originally, so they get down in the kitchen, and I'll actually throw blows to somebody who touches the candy yams first, because I like going in first for them.
Outstanding stuff as always. He's Sean Merriman, Lights Out Podcast, iHeart Podcast Network. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks for having me.